Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 32 of the Playoff Push podcast. And once again, I'm your host, Jack Dobbins, and I am joined by a very special guest, former Major League Baseball pitcher for the New York Yankees, Cleveland Indians, and Texas Rangers, Nick Goody. How are we tonight?
We're doing good, bro. We're doing good. We're watching my LSU Tigers. We're watching my LSU Tigers put one together here against North Dakota State. So I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Oh, yeah. Of course, you did play ball at LSU. So that leads me right into my first question. So, of course, LSU being one of the premier athletic schools in the entire country, how do you think playing at a school like LSU helped you in your baseball career and get ready for MLB action?
Wow. Yeah. That place is special, man. They have the I think they have the best fans in college baseball. I could be a little biased, but they do show up and they sell out. I mean, they're when they go to Omaha, they win the Jello Shot Challenge. They always
I
travel
saw that.
well.
Yeah. They crush it too. Like, it's not even close.
It's not even close. I mean, it's just that's what they do, and they're the best fans. And even when you are not pitching at your best or playing at your best, they still have your back. And so just for me being able to pitch in that environment with that many people, yeah, I think that really prepared me for the major leagues. Not so much the minor leagues, but the major leagues, and
Yeah.
at LSU, you travel in private jets. When I got to the minor leagues, I
Whew.
was traveling in a bus. So it was a big difference. And I didn't like the bus too much, so
Yeah.
we wanted to get out of there quick.
Yeah, a lot of people, say they don't like the bus. I've read so many articles on especially during that COVID era where, the owners were not really trying to pay the minor leaguers all that much, like seeing all like the ranting and Shin-Soo Choo back when he, gave money, more money than the Oakland A's owner, John Fisher.
Yeah. Shit. Actually, yeah, I have one of his jerseys. It was one of my favorite teammates. I had him in
Oh,
Texas,
yeah.
and what a legend, man. That guy, what he played 17 years in the big leagues, and he's still, when he was with Cleveland in spring training, they gave him his own key to the facility because he beat everybody. They would get there at like 4 in the morning.
Wow.
Yeah. You want to talk about an absolute dog and grinder of a baseball player, Shin-Soo Choo is. And, just for reference, how popular that guy is, when he goes to Korea, I believe he's Korean. When he goes back to Korea, he's like the Michael Jackson. Like there's people waiting
Yeah,
for him off of the plane, and I couldn't believe it. And he's like, "You want to come?" I'm like, "Yeah, I want to come. I want."
I
He's like, "We'll
mean,
sing karaoke all night." I'm like, "All right, let's do it."
he was one heck of a ball player, and I really do, like hearing all these stories about, him as a person, him as an athlete, and just the guy that was and still is Shin-Soo
No,
Choo.
he's a legend, bro. What a great teammate. What a great guy. Just. Yeah, I got some stories. I got some stories with him. He introduced me to soju. So whenever you get a
Uh-oh.
chance, look up what soju is. But yeah,
Oh boy.
it's nice, man. It's nice. We needed that in 2020.
So speaking of Shin-Soo Choo, of course, you mentioned two of the teams that you did play for, Cleveland and Texas, as well as my New York Yankees. How did the culture differ between those teams, and was there one that felt like the best fit for you specifically?
Man, I get this question a lot. Obviously New York drafted me twice, and they're the ones who really like I feel like New York is home, at least throughout the minor leagues it was. When I got to the big leagues in New York, everything's first class as it is. I mean, it is New York and they have a reputation and they do hold themselves to a high standard and probably higher than other organizations. But I was there at a different era. Now the culture has changed quite a bit. When I was there, you had to wear your pants up in the minor leagues. You had to wear black cleats. You couldn't have a chain. You couldn't have anything. Hair had to be cut. And now,
Wow.
it's a different culture. So I think I probably would have fit in better with this culture that they have now, just because you could be yourself a little bit more and express yourself just a little bit more. And not only that, but to me, I feel like I was walking on eggshells in New York just because I was a rookie and I didn't know how to get on the trains to go to the field. So I would get to the field at like 11 o'clock for like a 7 o'clock start because I didn't know how to take the trains, bro. I'm like the D train to the 4 train to the A train to the B train to the C train. And next thing you know, I'm getting off in Flushing and I'm an hour and a half away. And I'm just like, dog. So, I was really I was anxious, I would say, when I was in New York. When I got traded to Cleveland, I could breathe a little bit. And I think that's where I really got a chance to really be myself. And it was actually the first time that I could drive to the stadium in the big leagues, which was super dope because it was a great time. Like in New York, when you get on the train, you're taking an Uber or whatever, you're always on alert, you know what I'm saying? But in Cleveland, I could just whip it to the field, listen to my jams on the way there, and then after on the way back, had a nice 30-minute ride to decompress before I got home. And so it was nice. And I played for Terry Francona while I was there, and it was I credit him with a lot of success that I had there because he was just a fantastic manager and somebody that you could truly be yourself around. And then we also had other great coaches like Jason Bray was my bullpen coach there, and I still talk to him all I wouldn't say all the time, but we definitely keep in touch, and I think he was awesome. And I really wish he would still be a part of the organization in some capacity because he was a fantastic bullpen coach. And then Texas, I couldn't really give Texas a fair assessment just because it was 2020 and there was so much going on. And it really, I like Chris Woodward, but with everything going on out, in the world, I think it would be very unfair if I gave them, I think they're great. I think the people there are amazing. I just, it's just hard to really give a fair assessment just because of the circumstances. I only got 60 games, or I think I got DFA'd for the last series. So, but yeah, anyways, I don't know. My favorite organization, I mean, New York will always hold a special place in my heart, the team that drafted me. So, I love New York. I love the Yankees. I love what they're all about, the Yankee way. Winning is the top of their, that winning is at the top of their list of things. And then, but I love Cleveland because I always, for me, I'm 5'10 and a half. So I've always been, undersized, the underdog. And like, I think us as the Indians is when I played, I think we embraced that. And it was the Cleveland against the world type of thing. And I think that, when we went on these win streaks and, we had great teams, I think we embraced that. And for me, I think that's where like I learned how to become a major leaguer was in Cleveland.
Love it. Just for the record, Baseball Reference has you listed at 5'11", so they went up for you on that
I usually put 6 foot, 6'1" with cleats on, but in
Uh-oh.
reality I'm about 5'10 and a half.
That's so cool. So, in that Cleveland tenure, of course, your first year there was 2017, one of the best Cleveland teams we've ever seen in Major League Baseball history, over 100 wins, and had one of the most dominant rotations in recent memory with like Kluber and Carrasco and Bauer and Clevinger. What was it like being around that pitching staff, and how did it impact you as a reliever in your best year?
Man, you just learn so much from everybody, right? So like I probably my first year there, I didn't really talk to Corey Kluber too much. He's kind of kept quiet, kept to himself. And then, my second 18 and 19, we kind of broke it, broke the ice there and I got to know him and I really, really loved him. But that first year, I would just watch. I just literally was very observant of Kluber because you've heard so many, things about this guy. I got to watch him pitch as an opponent and just to be on his team and watch how a real true like superstar in the game goes about his business was incredible. And then you follow that up with Cookie and what he does and he's like, you have Corey Kluber who's like super regimented and Carrasco is too. But maybe not as regimented. And then you
Yeah,
flip
totally.
it to Trevor Bauer, who's like tracking his sleep, how many times he takes a piss and how many sips of water he has and how many throws he makes. And TB is was one of my favorite teammates. His locker was a couple down from mine. So I learned a ton from Trevor. I think, he needs another shot in the big leagues,
I
no
totally
question.
agree. I mean, Cy Young, man.
He's dude, you know, I, you know, It just blows my mind. I bet he would be in a great fit for New York. He would have been a great fit for Boston.
Yeah, just a one-year prove it deal. I mean, why not?
Exactly. What do you have to lose? Who can, he's, that's a whole nother story. But anyways, he
Yeah.
was awesome. And then you had, Clevenger, who, I mean, just look at him, his nickname Sunshine, right? So you got,
Yeah.
you had like a whole spectrum of just a motley crew of like the starting rotation there. And dude, they were freaking lights out, bro. I mean, and you can't forget Danny Salazar was in the mix
Oh,
there.
never.
And we even had Adam Plutko come up and pitch a little bit. And there was just, I mean, it was just like, every night you were just like in the bullpen, you're like, all right, they're gonna go seven or eight. So one of us has to pitch tonight. And that really, when you have that confidence in your starting rotation, it really goes a long way, especially for your bullpen, because not only are you saving innings for later on in the year, guys are starting to, they work themselves into roles, and then it's just like you have more time in the pen to sit and talk and get to know each other, and then it's like, oh, the one game that the guy goes six innings and you're just like, oh damn, we have to cover three tonight. Like we
You get so used to one or two that when it gets longer than that, you're like, oh no.
yeah damn, who's got multiples tonight? It's not me, please don't be me, but yeah, they carried the load, man. So they, and then they made our job pretty easy. And our bullpen was ridiculous that year as well. I mean,
I bet.
I don't think anybody, I mean, out of the like six dudes in there that were like staples, I think we all had under a three.
Yeah, I mean, I think you had a, I think you had a 2.8 flat, if I remember properly.
Yeah, there you
But I
go.
mean, yeah, and I mean that bullpen and even the rotation was so shut down. I mean, you had Andrew Miller, like that was Andrew Miller's shutdown year. I think he had a 1.5,
It was
if I'm
ridiculous. I
remembering
mean,
that.
we had Cody Allen, Andrew Miller, Brian Shaw, Dan Otero, Zach McAllister, myself, Sean Armstrong was there.
That's loaded. That is so loaded.
I'm trying to think who else we did. There was just like a, it was like a, the, there was like a little bit of a revolving door, with the last couple pieces. But yeah, man, it was ridiculous. It was
Really
ridiculous.
was. I think D Dan Otero was there, I think.
Yeah, Dan Otero. Yeah, I mentioned him. Super ball
Yeah,
sinker.
yeah. Yeah, I mean that was, one heck of a team. So a further question from that 2017 team was one of the most historical streaks in baseball history, a league record 22 game win streak. What was the energy like in that clubhouse during the run, and at what point did you realize that you were a part of some history?
The energy in the clubhouse was, I mean, this is another question I get, but it was literally just like we just showed up and we're just like, all right.
It wasn't special. It wasn't like you were like riding the high or anything.
No, dude, it wasn't until probably like
Wow.
game 20 where I remember driving home with my wife, and one of my boys was in the car, and I was like, I look at him like, dude, we just won like 20 games in a row. Like, I feel like that's pretty good. Like, I feel like that's got to be a record or something. I don't know. And then I was like, they looked it up and whatever the record was, and I was like,
Yeah.
holy shit, dude! Like, I'm on a team that will, like, we almost went a whole month without losing. And I was like, what? But no, I
Yeah,
mean,
exactly.
the energy in the clubhouse was just like, we're all just like unconscious. Nobody really. I don't. I really. There was like some special moments within that series, like Jay Bruce's hit. I remember that one vividly. I was in the training room. I'd pitched that game, I'm pretty sure, and I didn't ever go back down to the dugout during that streak. Like, no matter how much I wanted to, because I wanted to be on all the films, like celebrating and stuff, but I would pitch, and I would stay up in the freaking. I would do all my arm care, drink my Pedialyte, and then just watch the game and like
Sounds good to
freak
me.
out. But yeah, it.
The craziest thing about that to me is the fact that you guys weren't so hyped about it with Frankie Lindor on your team. I feel like he would be the guy to be like, "Yeah, guys, let's go. Let's get it going."
He did it. That's the thing. He was a two lockers down for me too. And like, I don't think, dude, yeah, I'm telling you, I don't think we, I mean, nobody really paid attention. We just showed up and we're like,
That's
oh, who do
so
we got
funny.
today? Oh, we got the Royals. All right, well, I guess we'll just beat them. Then it was like, oh, we got Detroit coming in. All right, well, we'll just beat them. And I was like, ah, Twins? Oh, next. Like, I don't, it's just, it just, I don't, everybody was just
That's
unconscious.
crazy.
The actual numbers, if you ever get a chance, dig into the actual pitching staff numbers for those.
I'm intrigued.
Serious.
Like, I'll definitely check it out. I'm
It is
intrigued.
ridiculous, bro. It's
I bet it
ridiculous.
is.
Our starting rotation was ridiculous during that streak, for sure.
I mean, it was always ridiculous. You know, that was just like a shutdown one through five. You know, that was boom, 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 boom. Set them down next game.
Exactly. That's what it was for 22 in a row.
Oh, yeah. Alrighty, heading over to your New York tenure. You were there for 2 years, 2015 and 2016, and you were sandwiched in between two iconic eras of Yankees baseball. So my first question is, since you got to play with some legendary guys like, you know, Teixeira, Beltran, A-Rod, what was it like sharing a clubhouse with those guys? And did any of them give you advice about the game or life that really stuck with you?
You know, there was such an age gap between us.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, so like those guys were way further along in life than I was. You know, they have families and kids, and they're coming out to the end of their career, where mine is kind of just starting. And not to say that they can't ever offer any advice, but I think, you know, I they're also the three that you mentioned were all position players,
No,
and
yeah, I know. I mean, you had Dellen too. I mean,
Yeah,
Dellen,
so Dellen, yeah,
one heck of a guy.
Dellen was awesome. So like, you know, obviously I spent a lot of time with Dellen. CC was amazing.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, he's I got him on the wall.
So you got Ichiro and Pujols back there. Woo. Oh,
Yeah,
man.
CC Mo, I'll take you around.
Holy cow. That's crazy.
There's some of my stuff, my LSU stuff, and then one of my jerseys, and then actually up there, the Ace of Spades bottle, like right over there, is the 22 game win streak one that we
No
got for.
way.
Yeah, it's dope. I got the whole team to sign it. It's pretty
That's
dope. That's
crazy.
probably like my coolest memorabilia. And I had the A-Rod 3000 hit. I think it is 3000 hit or something. Wine
Whew.
bottle.
Wow.
Beltran, we spoke a little bit. You know, the best advice he gave me was don't forget the beer bag. So, you know, I didn't forget the beer bag after he told me that. Who else did you mention? A-Rod. A-Rod. Yeah. He spoke to me one time in Minnesota for like a while when we were in the weight room talking. Like we were just in the weight room talking, and you know, he was like, yeah, he was talking to me about a splitter and how I threw a splitter, and I'm like, dog, I didn't tell him this, but I was like, I don't throw splitters. Like he was like, you know, your splitter's so good. You need to do this, this, and this. And I was just like,
It really?
I was like, all right, man. You know, I think he got me confused for Kirby H. I was a little bit appalled at the time, but I didn't correct him. I kind of just let him ride. And then, you know, I was just like, all right. But
That's hilarious.
yeah, no, he was good, man. You know, those guys kind of kept to themselves a little bit, you know, just like I said, they're different stages of life. And but you know, when
Yeah,
we were on the
exactly.
same team, they were there. Brian McCann was awesome. Brian McCann always treated me well.
Yeah.
So did Brett Gardner. Like those guys and Chase Headley, those three usually stuck together.
I really miss Guardy. It's like after he left, he just went MIA. Like I
Yeah,
haven't
I
heard
mean he's
anything from him
Southern.
since he last played.
South Carolina boy, man. He's probably up there hunting and fishing and doing whatever he
Probably.
does,
That
you
sounds
know?
like a Guardy thing to do.
But yeah, so those three guys were cool. Ellsbury, Jacoby Ellsbury, I spent some time
Yeah.
with him. That was super cool.
How about Chase and Shreve? I'm curious because I've always been a huge Shreve guy.
Yeah, he was actually a really good friend of mine when we were there. I mean, we got along. I think he came he showed up to my bachelor party too, which was super
Oh
tight.
boy.
Yeah, it was good time. Yeah, no, I remember he had a really sick place in New York that like overlooked the whole city, and I would go over there and
No
just
way.
like, oh, you're in this place, dude? I'm in the hotel on Broadway. Like you have a way cooler view.
If I was a pitcher and had an apartment in New York, I'd be so tempted to just like see how far I could chuck a baseball into the city and see what happens.
Yeah, make sure they don't know, you know?
No,
Make sure they
exactly.
don't
That's the
know.
issue.
Sign it. Yeah.
Yoink.
Yeah. But
That's
no, he was
crazy.
cool, man. He actually helped me out a lot because he kind of showed me around the city, told me where to go. You know, he was kind of like the guy took me under his wing type of thing. Because you know, we were both young, but he had a little bit more time, so a little bit more experience. But yeah, I mean, it was cool, man. It was cool to play with those guys. You know, but to me, that you know, they're just to me, they were just teammates. I never,
Yeah.
you know, I never like was like, oh my gosh, you know, I don't think I ever got starstruck or whatever. They were just my teammates. Like,
Yeah,
hey,
that's
look,
how
you
it
get a
is, you
ground ball
know?
to third base, Al, I hope you make the play. Fly ball in the right field, Beltran, you better be there. Like, you know, it's like, yeah, I guess now looking back on it, it was probably cool. You know, I probably should have got a picture with one of them. I don't know.
But in the moment, it was just what it was, you know?
Yeah, it is what it is. Yeah, exactly. Like playing with Frank, like Frankie, like that's my dog. Like I should have asked for a Lindor jersey. You know, he lives in Florida and I should have just been like, dude, because I usually get the jerseys of the guys that I like. I
Yeah, I
either
bet.
this guy I loved watching when I was in high school. Ichiro, obviously. I
He's
played
he
with
was the
him in spring
man.
training. Yeah. Pujols was another one. I used to have his bat. And then like I really like CC impacted me. Like more on a personal level, I really loved, you know, he was another one, took me under his wing, always made me feel comfortable in the clubhouse.
He
Somebody
seems like
like,
such a great guy, like a guy that you could just sit down, have a dinner with, and just have like a genuinely amazing conversation. Like that's what
oh
he,
yeah,
that's the energy he gives off.
100%. He's the dopest dude. He's super chill. Like, and you would, I mean, the guy's a Hall of Famer, obviously, right? But
Oh,
like,
100%.
you're just like, you, it, without even, you would never know because he's like one of the dude, like, he's just a dude.
You know
Like,
what's
there's,
crazy? I had an episode about a month and a half ago with Bob Nightingale, and
oh
he
yeah.
perfectly predicted the guys that would get elected. He said Cece, he said Wagner, he said Ichiro, and he said that's it. And it was like, I was stunned when he got it right. I was like, wow, okay, man, wow.
Well, I mean, you look at the list there, those guys are the ones that stand out. And really,
Exactly.
Wagner should have been in
He should have been
years
on so
ago.
long ago.
Yeah, it's a
So long
joke.
ago.
Such a joke. I mean, he was an electric closer. So,
Oh, yeah.
and it really, you know, I don't know if you watched the video, but it really meant a lot to him. So, I guess it would mean a lot to everybody, but he'd been waiting the longest, so it was
Oh,
super fun
yeah.
for him.
Oh, yeah. So that was one era of the 2 years you were there. And then when you get into 2016, the year that you definitely played more with the Yankees, you were entering the Baby Bomber era and you got to see Aaron Judge's first taste of the big leagues. What was your first impression of Judge? And did you ever have a feeling he'd be the superstar he is today? Because his 2016 year was kind of underwhelming.
Yeah, I came up with Judge. He was actually at my wedding. You know,
Holy cow, what a flex.
well, that was before that was before he won all the awards. But no, he's dude. I remember when we first signed him, he came into spring training or whatever, and he had a quad injury. So I got to really meet him with Ian Clarkin was another one. They were the first rounders that year. I think it was 2013 or something. And I really got to meet Judge and I got to meet Aaron. You know, I got to meet these guys and I really liked him because it's just like a big, gentle giant, like just awesome dude to talk to. Like, you know, and I had been there, I was rehabbing my elbow. And so I got to, you know, we talked and we got to know each other. And, you know, then we go we were in AA in 2015 together, and our double A team was ridiculous. I mean, we were our double A team had like probably 90% of the team was in the big leagues, and they're still
Wow.
playing. Like, I'm probably the only guy not playing, me and Greg Bird. Like, but
Oh my goodness.
yeah, we were ridiculously good, and I think that's when I knew he was going to be good. He had some holes in his swing back then, but then he got called up to triple A. And then I got called up to AAA shortly after him, and I could see some of the holes were being exposed. You know, you always kind of, as a pitcher, you always are like, all right, how would I attack him if I had to pitch to him? And I told him like how I would attack him if I had to pitch to him. And but I remember that 2015 AAA team we had in Scranton, we won the whole thing. That was a very special team, and
Wow.
it was on that team where I was like, it was him and Judge's girlfriend at the time, who's now his wife, Sam. I remember we were on the boat one of the off days, and I was like, "Your husband or your, you know," I was like, "This is a super like this is a superstar," and I told it to
Wow.
her, and I was like, "Not just the baseball player, but like the person. Like I don't care how good he is. Like he's a superstar person," and obviously, you know, he is who he is, and
He's ridiculous.
he's awesome, man. I can't say enough good things about Aaron Judge. He's definitely one of my top five teammates. Just need to get him to respond to me on Instagram or something. He changed his number and I don't have it, so
I don't think he runs his page. I think he has like a manager who runs his page.
I'm sure he does now, but
Yeah,
like,
that's what I assume, just like based on the way that the account's structured.
yeah, I'm sure it is. Because there's some stuff that gets posted on there, and I'm like,
Yeah,
I don't know
like,
if that's,
interesting.
yeah,
Yeah, I mean,
but.
one thing interesting is that I actually saw a video of Judge today from spring training. I don't know what year it was. It may have actually been 2015. And his swing is so different. Like, he's like perched kind of upright, like Bellinger does. And then, of course, over time, he got that, little hunch in the back and, the iconic stance we all know and love. But it was just weird seeing him with, like, a different pre-swing, motion.
Yeah, that's a big talk of that's a big debate on the old Twitter sphere or X sphere now that you want to call it, with Teacher Man and like flipping the bat back and teaching his type of deal there. I'm not here to debate that, but you know what? It works for Judgy,
Hey, I
and
mean, he's,
he's the poster child for that, and you know he's a hell of a baseball player. So, but
I mean,
yeah, I
I got
mean,
his number on my back,
but no, he made some adjustments, dude. As you have to make adjustments in that game, you know, in this game, and he made the correct adjustments, and you know, it paid off handsomely for him. So
Oh,
I
yeah.
couldn't be happy for him. I love the guy. I love
That's
Sam.
great.
So
That's really great.
hope he repeats.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm heading down to spring training in like a week and a half. So I'm really excited to, get to see him again probably for the first time in spring training. I don't think he played when I went down there in 2018, I want to say. So I
Oh,
don't think
no.
he really played in those games. I think that was more of, the Greg Birds playing in that game. But, Judge, I'm just so excited to see what he can do this year, and hopefully we can run it back to that World Series spot,
The team is stacked, bro. The whole
The
thing
good
is you just
team.
got to stay healthy. You have some questions in the field, but you know, we don't know what we're going to get with Goldschmidt. We don't know what Dominguez is going to do.
Exactly.
Who's going to play third base? Is it going to be Jazz? Is it going to be not Peraza,
Carrera.
Oswaldo, yeah.
Yeah.
Which those two guys were in my AAA team in 21. They actually got called up there. We knew they were going to be good, but
Oh, yeah.
I'm pumped for them. But yeah, I mean, there's some question marks, and then we just need the staff to stay healthy. If the staff stays healthy, I mean, it's a ridiculous rotation. So
Sounds
we'll
good to
see.
me. That sounds good to me. I got a couple more questions here. And my second to last one is, if you had to pick one toughest hitter you ever faced, who is it and why? I know it's a generic question, but I have to ask.
I always had two.
Uh-oh.
Melky Cabrera and Nelson Cruz. Really,
Wow.
honestly, Melky Cabrera. He was my teammate in Cleveland. I'm like, bro, I don't. You foul it. Like he would just sit there and just like, it was like cricket swing fouls. Like just foul, 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 foul. You're just like, bro. Just like in the dirt, and he's just like hitting it off the dirt. And I'm just like, bro,
Like, are you
what?
serious?
Yeah, bro. Like, come on,
Just
man.
strike out
This
already.
just either strike out or just put the ball in play. Like, I'm done. You know, I don't want to do this anymore. We've done this for too long. Like, yeah. So he was always one. And then the other one was Nelson Cruz, which
Boomstick.
dude, I feel like, you know, I don't know what his numbers are. I just remember I pitched to his scouting report and he took me deep in Seattle. And I was just like, I'm like, th then the, you know, then the pitching coach comes out. And he's like, I'm like, you know, in an explicit at the top of the explicit zone. And that's what I'm saying to him. And, you know, and then Mickey or who it might have been, Carl's like, oh man, you pitched it in the right spot. And I'm just like, bro, like,
Mean, when you're pitching to a guy with almost 500 career homers and a perennial all-star, that sometimes that happens.
it was ridiculous, man. He was tough. He was a tough out, but yeah, Melky was a tough out. Melky was probably, I mean, I always say Melky is the number one, but Nelson Cruz, I just couldn't, I don't, I didn't matter what I threw. Like I just like heat her up and he was just like on top of it and like sliding in the dirt. He's like down.
I never would have guessed Melky in a million years. That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like with his at bats, like he just fouled off everything. Like at least when I faced Trout, like I'm sure you get Trout a lot. Like, you know, Trout was like, all right, I'd get to him like two strikes. I'd either win the bat or he would just hit a 400 mile per hour nuke to second or third base for an out, or he would clip one for a homer. So it was like, you know, I don't know what he's hitting off me, but I know he has a homer and I know he has a duck fart triple over like first base, which I was like, I'm like the one time the guy, I jam him and he hits a triple off me. Like, what the hell's going on here? Then he would hit like 300 mile per hour ground ball to third base that would like break our third baseman's hand. Yandy breaks his hand, picks it up, throws him out. And I'm just like, dude,
Really?
baseball sucks.
Man, that's crazy. Whew,
Yeah.
I mean, this is not a question I was originally going to ask, but since you brought up Trout, I have a question. Do you think that if it weren't for injuries, Trout would be a top five player of all time?
Oh, dude. Yeah, absolutely. That guy is
I mean,
unbelievable
I really
player.
think he is.
He's unbelievable. I mean, look at his numbers. I mean, he's just like he was king compared to Mickey Mantle, dude.
No,
Like,
exactly. I mean, he was. I have to ask the question though, because like I saw someone put Trout not in their top 25 all time, and
that's ridiculous.
I just looked at
I
them.
would just.
I was like, are you kidding me? Like, are you serious?
Like see people like that are like the person who didn't vote Ichiro in, you
Exactly.
know,
Like, with all due respect to Brooks Robinson, I am not putting him over Mike Trout. I am sorry. I am not
no.
doing it.
Mike Trout is one of the best baseball players of all time. I think so.
I totally agree with you. 100 million percent.
It's yeah, it's you know, we can lay that one to rest. He'll be a Hall of Famer. He could have ended
Oh,
his
yeah, he will be.
career, you know, last year, 2 years ago, and still been a Hall of Famer. I think he's that good. And, you know, I hope he has another healthy year because dude, he's so fun to watch.
And just
He's a
imagine
pain
if
in
he
the ass
played
to
all
pitch
those games.
against.
Just
Oh,
imagine if he
yeah.
didn't get hurt for all those games and played them, he would be, chasing records all over the place.
Exactly. But, you know, that's why those records are there, man. The body breaks down over time. And so, you know,
Exactly, yeah.
it's like it's a grind, dude. It's a very tough sport to play
I bet it
mentally,
is. Oh, yeah.
physically, emotionally. Like you got to keep you got to keep all the little bit ligaments. It's not like, you know, football where you can just be brutal and all that. Like if your little ligament, my elbow goes, like
Could
the
get
whole
so
thing's
much
gone.
worse.
Yeah,
Exactly.
exactly.
Oh, yeah.
So.
All right, we're going to end this on one question that I love ending all of my player interviews with. Looking back at your career, what was the biggest part that you will take away through the rest of your life?
Biggest part that I would take away,
Like
I would.
whether like how to live your life or like how to, anything. Just if you could take one thing from your career and use it as like the motto for the rest of your life, what would it be?
No, I've never been asked that question. I've always been at, what would you do differently? But never like, what would I take? But, you know, if you want to do, you know, anything in your life, right? Like, and this is just speaking to you, like, you know, whatever, however you cut this clip up. But if you want to be the best podcaster in the world, like, you have to set your mind to it and go for it. Like, nothing else matters. When you wake up in the morning time, when you go to bed, like, that's what's on your mind 24/7. And you have to visualize yourself being there. Like, not just interviewing me, like you want to interview like Joe Rogan and Donald
Oh,
Trump and
yeah.
whoever else, you know what I'm saying? Like you need to like visualize that and like that stuff, you know, whatever you can visualize, it will come to fruition. You will manifest that somehow, some way, but you have to believe it. Like there's, like I told you earlier, dude, I'm 5'10". Should I have ever pitched in the big leagues? I believe so 100%. Like I should have been. And a lot of people wrote me off, but you know what? I was there. They're not. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And you know, I guess taking this further on in life, like when I retired, I haven't officially retired yet, but We'll say,
It's
we'll
been a few
say.
years.
It's been a few years, but that doesn't say I'm not throwing. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
My wife wants me to make a comeback, and
Uh-oh.
I don't know. We'll tease it, but I'm not sure. But
Hit up Trevor. Go back as a package deal.
I still got some juice in the arm though, and it's
Uh-oh.
good. But when when I took a hiatus, I wanted to be, I just was like, look, I want to be a pilot, and never would have thought I would have been a pilot. A year later, I'm a certified flight instructor. So it's
That's
like,
great.
whatever you want to do in life, that's how you have to attack it. I want to do this. I have a goal. This is what I want to do. This is what I want to be. This is what I'm going to, and then just go for it. So what we tell my kids, and you have to work hard for it, man. So I don't know. Work hard. Visualize what you want to do, and that shit will manifest into a reality.
That sounds great to me. And that's a great way to close out this episode, episode 32 of the Playoff Push Podcast. As always, thank you so much, Nick. It really means the world that you're able to hop on the show. And for everyone listening, thank you for your continued support. I'm Jack Dobbins, and have a great rest of your day.